B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Relax.
We'll
get sorted out. So we have this little app here to request time off. Little app that we use.
I don't have one.
I mean, I got into the
Nobody
app.
Believed Zoe that Nobody. When he went into the app that it didn't work. It was just, we just all assumed Zoe's an idiot and didn't know how to request
time
off.
As usual, I can't get on my computer or the password resets itself and all that. Yeah. Typical Zoe stuff.
Hardy, he just showed me in his app. In the same app we all have.
I can't request time off.
The time off section? Every section exists. There's a number of sections that show up. Your pay.
There's like seven sections.
Your time card, your schedule, benefits, tasks, things to do, employee search. The box that says time off doesn't exist when he logs in. I guess you can't take time off.
Maybe used up all your days.
Maybe I didn't.
You just let them know about it. You'll literally have that probably before we get off the air.
What
does that mean?
That section back up there.
Why? Did this happen to you?
With other stuff.
Oh.
Other sections.
So this is a common thing that happens on this app.
Is it Corey? Is it a Corey issue?
That John Corey?
Yeah.
Well, you know what he's busy doing. He's
busy down there rough him up a little bit.
Slashing budgets and laying people off.
Oh, we should go down there, rough him up a little bit, throw some things around.
Maybe that's a sign. Maybe that's why he doesn't have it.
Hardy, you want to go down there? Hardy, you want to go down there and shake John Corey up a little bit?
Your termination date is coming, though.
Go down there, crack our knuckles, walking around the halls. That'll scare him.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he scares easily.
Good luck with that, Zoe, or else that's a lot of days you'll be working this summer.
Oh, God, what am I going to do?
Zoe and McCone.
Oh, my God, I'll kill myself. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. I liked him.
Oh, is it? I just requested working with McCone.
Oh, you did?
That particular week that no one else will be
there. Hardy got requested to be worked with, too.
Yeah, going to the mornings,
Hardy,
I hear.
He'll be pulled off our show again. Yeah. That's nice.
Brian's in Newton. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey,
what do you call it? I'll tell you why Swayman's your best chance to win tonight. I don't think anyone's looking at Tuca to steal us a game. I think, we want the team around him to be playing a lot better and for him to hold up for it. And I think Swayman can do that equally. But I think the real thing that people are kind of like forgetting is that I think the team's too confident with Tuca. And I think if you have Swayman in net, I think everyone on the team is going to be working harder to protect him. Your D is going to be working harder. And I think having a little bit of lack of confidence could actually really help the team step up its game in general.
Okay, so go with the young kid, help it spark everybody else to pick up their game, to protect him, to give the team the best chance to win, to play better in front of him. I don't know that it would necessarily
be
true.
I understand the confidence point with Tuca and guys like Pasternak that we started the show with, and you brought up the audio from him saying, hey, the top goalie in the world, and he's ready. He's our guy, you know. I do think they have that confidence in him. I also think it also plays the other way when you put a kid in or somebody out there that you're unsure of, that it's a heightened sense of urgency, especially in that back end, that we need to be on our stuff, that we can't put teams on the power play with this guy in there. So we need to concentrate a little bit more. I think the attention to detail with a new guy in there is natural human element in sports. That takes over the people that you play with. That's why they always say, let's pick it up around the other guy, right? One guy goes down, next guy, and we got his back. You know, that's a natural thing in sports.
Nick in Worcester. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
You know, something I can't believe that has not been brought up is, the only reason why the Islanders may be going on to the Eastern Conference Finals, they were smart enough to take out Varlamov and put in Sorokin in. and the two games that he played. A rookie who was flawless when he played. He stopped 68 of 72 shots in the first two games that he played. When Varlamov, their Tuukka Rask, gave up 7 goals in 2 games against Pittsburgh. So they were smart enough. The coach had the balls to take out the Varlamov and put in the rookie. And look what happened when the rookie was playing. That's why the Bruins are playing the Islanders. I don't know why we're wasting time tonight. I'd rather see a cardboard cutout of Cam Newton in goalie.
Okay, I wouldn't do that.
By the way, I'm not eliminating the possibility that Tuukka is able to go in and play be a representative goaltender tonight. I would be pretty surprised if he went out and had a performance similar to the one he had in Game 3. That would surprise me because clearly something has happened to him. Something physically has changed for him at some point. When that is, I don't exactly know. But something has changed, and that was what led them to not put him on the ice during skate yesterday. That certainly was a factor in the Bruins taking him out of the game after 2 periods.
People around the team and people that know this team say he's not right. That's what I go with. Not what I see through 3 games.
Mm-hmm. Jake and Newton. Hey, Jake.
Hey, gentlemen. How we doing?
Hey, Jake.
Yep.
Yeah, what's going on, Newton? Jake, what's up?
Oh, not too much. Nah. I just heard somebody call talking about Don Sweeney. I want to piggyback off that for a second. 2015, the Bruins' first round pick was Jake DeBrusk. 2 picks later, the Islanders took Matt Barzal. That same round, Carolina took Sebastian Aho. So I'm still optimistic that they're going to pull it out tonight. But if they don't work out this season, I think that's a serious conversation we need to have.
I mean, people didn't like those picks on day one. And there are people complaining about those picks the first night it happened. And now it just looks worse in hindsight.
Complaining that they made the picks at all.
Yeah, that too. It was not considered to be a great draft. And they made all 3 of those picks, and, well, Jake DeBrusk back in the lineup tonight, T-Bone. Yay!
See, the truth is, hockey's always been here.
Katarina? DeBrusk back in. Bernard in Providence. Hi, Bernard.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
So I just wanted to say that I think it'd be best for the team overall right now and going on to move on to the future if we start Swayman. It just makes more sense. Tuukka is clearly hurt, and that way if we start Swayman now, we know if he's either going to be a bust or we're actually going to be able to do something about him in the future, you know? If we lose, we lose, and he's just a bust. But if we win, then I guess we move on to the next round with a healthy Tuukka.
Confused by a lot there, but if the kid does play tonight, wins, and then wins Friday again, then you got yourself a little goalie controversy. Because you don't go away from the kid, you know, next round.
But if he were to play and not play well, the kid, Swayman,
yeah.
You're not going to write him off based on what you saw in 1 game?
He could.
Coming off, again,
people will.
Not the starter going into the playoffs, but you're going to write him off? That would be silly. Why would you do that? Over 1 bad game?
Especially when you have all those defensive guys hurt.
I just wouldn't write him off.
No Carlo.
That seems extreme.
No Miller. McAvoy's getting worn down. Yeah, they're going after him. That's what I'd do. I'd go try and beat the hell out of him tonight if I were them.
Matt's in the car. Hey, Matt.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm just trying to understand what the hell the fascination is with Rask from the players and from Cassidy. He quit in the team last year. I don't really care about the excuse anymore. Whatever it was, it was. But he's hurt. I mean, I just don't freaking get it. You've seen every other team that's advanced in this round and then last year's playoffs change goalie for the most part. I just don't. Doesn't make any effing sense to me. Give the kid a shot. You're probably going to lose tonight regardless and see what you've got for the next couple of years. I mean, either way, this is going to be Tuukka's last game because he's going to go, you know, 5-for-20 in terms of saves and goals allowed tonight. It's going to be a freaking disgrace. They're going to get routed. This just pisses me off. I don't understand why the coaching staff, the players, everybody is so enamored with Rask at this point. You know what you're going to get.
Good job, Matt, with a tip of the cap to Bob Ryan. What's the fascination with Tuukka Rask?
Yeah, Artie, what's the fascination with him?
What is the fast? And then the old, thank you.
But again, like,
I haven't heard that one in a while.
When you hear people say every other team that goes deep in the playoffs changes their goalie, you know, for the most part, sometimes.
But they never had a Rask.
That's not a recipe for success.
Right.
You know, changing horses midstream. What are you talking about? Like a right winger on the fourth line? No, goaltender. Now, that generally doesn't bode well for you.
Or those veteran guys that do get switched out and swapped out on those other teams. If you put them up against, who would you rather have, that guy or Tuukka Rask? And the answer would be Tuukka
Rask. Well, when you do switch it out, it tends to be another veteran, not a rookie who's never been in that spot. All things are not equal. And no, not every team that goes deep into the playoffs for the Stanley Cup playoffs changes their goalie at some point in the postseason. That's not a thing either. Stop stating these things like they're fact. Because they're not. Yes, it does happen, but almost every time it's out of necessity, injury, guy can't go, or he's so bad that you can't put him in again. Neither one is the case with Tuukka Rask.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. It's not Swayman tonight. Instead, it is Tuukka Rask in net for the Bruins. How about some other game thoughts on this game tonight, and what the Bruins will need to do to get a win and force a game seven. Let's talk about that. Outside of just the goalie situation, we'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think the biggest thing is when you start a game at home, you know, you're typically really amped up and the crowd's crazy and you get a bit of an adrenaline boost. So the biggest thing for us is we just have to keep it simple and try to impose, you know, our pressure and our forecheck early on. But they are so good at that. They always start very well. They typically start that Cizikas line and they compete extremely hard and set the tempo for their group. So, you know, we just have to try to do the same, almost emulate what they do and, just try to stay in the moment, not let the crowd affect us. But it's going to be fun.
So what do the Bruins have to do to get a win tonight? What are your keys to the game?
Hey, you got to put pucks on net.
Switch goalies.
You got to be...
We're not talking goalie here.
You got to be aggressive on the forecheck.
Greasy on the back check.
I think this. I think whether it's Bergeron, whether it's Pastrnak, whether it's anybody on the top two lines, Hall, go to the damn net. Go to the damn net and pressure this guy. Because right now, you sitting there being patient out there, waiting for the perfect pass, right now isn't working. And when you guys think you got the freaking shot, take the damn thing. Whether it's you, McAvoy, on that right side, you don't need to wait and see if Berge gets in front of the net. Take the freaking shot. You guys that could have a little blast behind your shot, do it. You, Pastrnak, you know, Bergeron. Those guys that could rip it, let it go. Hall can do it. You know what I'm saying? Just go attack this net. And on the back end, make sure the guy can see things. I'll stand right in front of him. I want them sneaky-ass goals getting in on the side or the corner. You know, get some good spacing. Play good, smart defense. Stay in front of these guys. Don't let them get the edge. They're too pesky. Well, guys like Barzal getting around you. Next thing you know, he sneaks one in on that backside, and there's two guys standing there in front of Rask. No, I don't want that. Lay his ass out. How about Richie? Richie, do what you did the other night. Go lean on people, man. Stir it up. Get their building rocking. Who cares? You got nothing to lose. So,
yeah, I don't care about any of that hitting stuff. I don't care. That's not how they're going to win.
But that guy, Richie, because he's not an offensive threat. But
you know,
do things that you're good at.
there's this obvious thought that you got to get out to a good start. The Bruins have gotten out to good starts, and they've squandered them.
Great starts.
So it's not just about a good start. It's about what I would say is taking control of the game and controlling the puck. And that means not dumping in like they have at certain points in this series where they've dumped and chased. I don't do that. And once you get in the zone, put the puck on net right away. And that might make for a lot more work.
Make them nervous.
That might make for a lot more skating.
Yep.
That may mean less zone time. But it might give you more opportunities. It might give you more chances.
Now you had them.
You just got to keep shooting.
You freaking finish. Would you freaking finish?
You got to break this guy.
Yep. Hopefully this is one where he like gives up five. You know?
Challenge him.
He might be great on Friday
night. Make
him
uncomfortable.
Yep.
You got to get the puck, though, on those dump-ins like that. My buddy Brian was
talking
about
this. Can't lose those
battles. He was talking about this yesterday. He's like,
go ahead.
And again, at the risk of getting too into a conversation that maybe we're not equipped to have, the Islanders tend to play the body. When they are coming through the neutral zone and they get the puck into the Bruins zone, they go in there and they play the body first. Bruins are much more a play the puck type of team. So that's where I think you're seeing kind of a, if not a breakdown, at least a lack of transition between, all right, puck's in the neutral zone. You don't have clean entry. You dump it in. Then they go in there and they're trying to play the puck. This is a heavy team. This is a team that's playing, I think, above their talent level right now in the Islanders. So when they decide to just play the body against you, or they're more than willing to have you come in and try and get the puck away from them because they're going to try and body guys up, whether they're in their own zone or in your zone, that's where you're not seeing those chances come out of your zone possession right away, because you're trying to play the puck and they're moving and muscling guys off of it too quickly. So it's not a question of all the time. They put 44 shots on goal the other night. I don't think it's a question of enough shots. It's just they're not getting the puck the way they want to, and the Islanders are being very annoying.
Pesky.
When it comes to not only getting and retrieving the puck once it's in their zone, but also going after it when they dump it into the Bruins zone. They're going in there and playing body first. And that's Wagner's talked to us about it before. I remember Tory Krug used to tell us the same thing. It's like, you know, after a certain number of minutes on the ice and a certain number of shifts, that's the part that really gets annoying. It's like, here comes this guy again. And, you know, all I'm trying to do is dig the puck out here. And I know that he's not even going after it. He's just coming in to lay a check on me. And that's when I think you get frustrated. And that's when you start to see him maybe starting to take some of those dumb penalties, too.
James in Montreal on tonight's game. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Good. Good. We checked into that Freightliner you got. That thing's nice.
Nice. Hey, am I the only one that thinks that, like, Cassidy sounds defeated? Like, it sounds like it wasn't even his decision to put Rask in. Like, it sounds like he doesn't even want Rask to be in. That's the way he's talking.
It sounded like an extension of his post game the other night when he sounded beaten down by the officiating, by the score of the game, by the score of the series. Like, he sounded like he was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a day game.
I think there's something going on between Rask and the coach. Like,
no.
Just from last game, the way he said he wasn't injured, but he could play the third, but we decided to sit him down and. He didn't look very happy at the end of that game. And I understand with the rest and everything.
No, he's pissed off.
No, he's at it. I would agree with you.
Something going on between Rask and the coach.
I don't know if it's a Rask issue, though. I think it extends to everything that's going on. Because I would say outside of just this, he's been a little bit defeated the last few games. Based on, I think, probably just the way they've played and ended up on the wrong side of things.
The way they played, the way they can't finish, him having to yell at the refs. He's got to deal with this back and forth with their head coach. I mean, he doesn't like doing that.
Speaking of that, Steve in Rhode Island on Patrice Bergeron and faceoffs. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. How are you?
Hey.
Excellent. So listen, I wanted to focus a little bit on Bergy. Under the premise that these teams are evenly matched, I think that's been established, and it's been a theme. And then the mental edge is what's going to take somebody to win this thing. And the mental edge has sort of been set the tone between Cassidy and the refs, and then Trotz with the whole Bergy thing. So focusing on Bergy, I think his success in the faceoffs drives the B's success. I mean, to me, that's the engine that helps drive it, among other things. Is Bergy impacted by the talk that's out there? And what's your take on how he responds tonight with regards to faceoffs and your thoughts on my points? Thanks.
So that's going to be interesting how this sort of plays out. If Patrice Bergeron is going to get thrown out of the circle again, I have a hard time believing that's going to be the case. But is he asking how Bergeron responds or how Cassidy responds?
I think it's Cassidy.
In game? What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Bergy.
Forget how the Bruins are going to respond. How are the refs, the new refs, going to respond? How are they going to call the game?
Maybe they'll be more respectful of Bergeron, like Cassidy asked them to be. Show some respect.
Well,
guy's been in the league a long time.
Give him the Selke list thing. You know, give him that. Let him look at the recognition he's got.
Don't throw him out on the first faceoff and say, yeah, that guy's right. Barry Trotz is right about you, you cheater. It's like validating Trotz, and I think that's what pissed off Bruce Cassidy.
Right. Don't be so influenced by outside forces like that.
Yeah.
Call your game. Call the game the way you call it. Not because of the way the opposing head coach tells you to call it. It's nonsense.
What a picture that is. Jerry in Rockland. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just want to thank you for having me. I love you. A lot of listening in the morning. My take, I wanted to go back to Uncle Donnie. I think he's on the hot seat with DeBrusque. You know what I mean? I'm glad he's in tonight because he's good for probably three or four high off the glass. But, you know, I think they should never let Chara go. It's showing now. He proved it in Washington. They re-signed him. I think they underestimated the Islanders. They're a dark horse in my eyes. I think Barry Trotz on the way to turn the Broad Street Bullies game plan and do it cleanly, and it's working. And you see Brazel walking around. Not one guy on that team is afraid to hit anyone. And you could see Pasta's getting pushed around. I think Martin told everyone he'll fight three times a night. And you know what? I hope they come to play. And I love the Bruins. I love hockey. Thank you. And like I said, Uncle Donnie, no emotion. And I love when they go in the GM box and you see Seabass punching holes in the wall when they lose. So thank you again for listening. And go Bruins. Take care.
Go Bruins, Jerry.
There it is.
There it is.
We're getting the post now on Twitter. It's from Riddle Mama. Here's the plan.
Oh.
No passengers. Pucks on net. No fancy passes. Shoot. Crash the net. Clog the end zone. That's neutral zone.
Yes, it is.
Pucks in deep. Finish. 60 minutes. Wish I could call. Hashtag Bruins.
Bruins! We also got this one. Did you guys get an email from upstairs to stop talking about the goalie since the team airs their games on your station? No. We just thought maybe 3 hours in a four-hour show was enough today. What, are you kidding me? We just thought we'd spend a little bit of time on the big playoff hockey game coming up tonight.
Jesus Christ.
Hit it again, T-Bone!
Hit it again! What's the matter with you people? We talk about what we would talk about.
My God. Mark in Georgetown. Hey, Mark.
What's happening, boys?
Hey, how you doing?
How you been?
What's going on? Good, man. Good. I've been waiting to call in. What? Listen. So tonight, right? We talk about the Bruins' room all the time, the veteran presence and stuff, right?
Yeah.
We'll find out what that room's made of tonight. I think this is a pretty big test for these guys. Obviously, right? We're kind of coming to the end of this course,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Prime area here. So I think this is the time, if ever, to kind of see these guys, see what they get the most out of this room with, as far as the veterans go. Two. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Islanders are up in this series because they want it more than you. They're not better than you on paper. They're not better than you talent-wise on the ice either. They want it more than you. They're moving their feet. They're getting the loose pucks. They're winning the 50-50 battles like you guys are talking about. Three, rather. I don't want to hear about, like, you know, Brandon Carlo being out and everything like that. That team is playing without their captain right now. Anders Lee's in the press box watching this. So they're down a man, too. But you know what? They're just going out and playing their game to the strength of their team. They hit. They succeed on the power play. The B's got to stay.
All right, Mark. Prediction for tonight.
B's win 5-3.
5-3. We're going to get to headlines right now. We come back on the other side. We will get to more Bruins. before the end of the show, we also have a significant Celtics report that just surfaced.
Oh.
We'll give you the details of that coming up next. Oh, you okay. want to hear this next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I promised you Celtics news, and here it is.
Turn your radio up. Here we go.
Bleacher Report. Has this report out. Sources say Boston Celtics and Kemba Walker want a breakup. The Kemba, such a Boston thing. Add an ER where there's an
Kemba.
A.
There you go, Remy.
Right?
Okajima.
At least he doesn't whistle like Dave O.
The Kemba Brian. Walker experiment in Boston seems to be coming to an end. Can
oh,
we,
you know, oh, thank you.
I don't want to take issue with the writer because it's good reporting here, but it's not really an experiment. That wasn't supposed to be experimental
oh, no.
in nature.
Nope.
That was supposed to be.
You didn't take a flyer.
Yeah, no, this
you
was
sure,
supposed
you sure
to work.
Five for 31 per? It's not a flyer? It's just an experiment?
This was supposed to be a sure bet, a predetermined outcome, not experimental. It says sources say the Celtics and Walker are likely to move forward from their relationship this offseason
no. oh,
in a
really?
Mutual agreement between the parties.
Oh, that's nice. Put that one right on Brad Stevens' lap. You know how Goodman was asked 18 months will he be here prior to it?
No, wait,
to
nothing
go
is
under.
Surprising about the possibility of the Celtics trying to move on from Kemba Walker. We just haven't heard that they both want out.
So he's pissed off they were trying to trade him.
Well, let me get to the rest of the story. Let me tell you what it says. It says sources close to the Celtics revealed that Danny Ainge sought to trade Walker and Drew Holiday was the target. Holiday ended up with the Bucks, as we know, and they're now continuing their playoff run. A source close to Walker said he was hurt by Boston's efforts to trade him. What?
I laugh at that. Because he's not available on nights of back-to-back. He doesn't play much defense. He's got another knee injury. We're really talking about the existing knee injury that has sort of hampered him over the course of his Celtic tenure here. The guy's not available.
So, I mean, listen, I'm not surprised that he felt hurt. We talked about it all last season, not this season, that if they were thinking about trading Kemba at any point, that would be a really bad look for the Celtics 1 year into having him here. So it says he was hurt, and it created a rift in the Walker-Ainge relationship. Walker has a great relationship with his teammates and looked forward to being a veteran mentor to Tatum and Brown. But the same can't be said about Walker in the front office.
That's funny. So you're going to have a bad relationship now with the guy that pretty much guaranteed you $150 million. The guy that signed your deal, that brought you here, that orchestrated you coming here.
He says he no longer feels wanted. One executive in the NBA said Walker isn't the only player to have those negative feelings toward Ainge. Oh my God. As players around the league have not trusted Celtics management during the Ainge era.
Oh, please.
Perhaps the most telling public example of that reputation came when Anthony Davis's father said he would never want his son to play for the Celtics after how they handled Isaiah Thomas's injury and departure.
Well, that's a different story. That's an individual case. But he went after Walker, got him here to sign him, and now all of a sudden you're mad that he would pull the plug on you if things aren't right? That's the job of the general manager is to make the team better. And if the point guard that you brought in that's making $31 million is hampered, he can't play on nights that are back-to-back, and now if someone's out, then good luck. Good luck trying to get out of this contract. Can't get out of this contract. Celtics control him.
It's not going to be easy.
Mm-mm. Too much time left on it.
One possibility is the Knicks. Mm-hmm. they might have interest, but I think the Celtics would be paying to get someone else to take him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be nice to have an experienced GM in there to handle this, right?
He's got negative trade value, as they say. You've got to give up something to get him off your books.
Oh, God. That league. Bunch of babies. They are spoiled. Oh, I don't feel wanted. Give me a break. What's he ever won? What has he ever won? Why is that guy stamped? What's Tatum thing? Does Tatum want him gone?
National title at UConn.
Oh, man. McCollum. Yeah. Woo. This actually gets me excited. He wants out. Good. Facilitate it. Find a way to get him out.
Oklahoma City. Evan Massey, per source. Another team to monitor in the Kemba Walker split is the Thunder. They have the flexibility to take on a bad deal and get compensated for it. Al Horford's contract could be used in this situation.
Oh, my.
This is not good for the Celtics. It really isn't, because it's yet another. This means
Hayward flew to Coop. You mishandled the IT thing.
Every big signing and trade of the last 5 years has left
Kyrie,
on bad terms.
Kyrie.
Isaiah Thomas, bad terms.
This guy's Captain Good Guy.
Al Horford,
right?
Bad terms. Gordon Hayward, bad terms. Kemba Walker will now leave on bad terms. Everybody who came here,
bad terms.
Kyrie, bad terms.
Oh, very, very bad. Can't wait
five
to hear
for five.
That book's written. But this guy's supposed to be like Johnny Good Guy, right? The facilitator, the guy supposed to stir the drink and help develop the two young guys. This was supposed to work. He's not a bad guy. He's not a malcontent. Now all of a sudden he's a malcontent because he's here.
If you were paid less, would you still want him on the team?
No, because I don't think he's that available. You can.
Yeah, well, but you would have an appropriate level of compensation for a guy who's not always available.
Okay, well, that's different then. Okay, yeah, okay.
I have no issue with Kemba Walker. My only issue is...
The problem is the contract.
You can't bank on that guy, and his contract eats up so much of your cap.
The contract eats the cap up.
That's the issue.
And it puts a ceiling on what are your expectations for the
player. Kemba's not an issue. His money is.
Kemba will never hit the expectations. Right. He'll never hit the expectations you have for him. And that's a problem.
Joe and Winthrop, what do you think about this?
What they're talking about?
Okay.
No,
Joe,
we'll
try that another day.
The stuff they're playing over on 107.5.
We'll wrap things up on this show with today's takeaways. Those are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds. I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go. To the takeaways. T-Bone.
How many we have
for us today,
what do we
here,
today,
bud?
T-Bone?
How many we got?
We got one.
Okay, let's hear it.
I know who it is.
Is it Katarina?
It's got to be. It's got to be.
Damn it.
She got the hots for T-Bone. Boston College, the football team, the football program, will be playing the University of Alabama.
Really?
Yeah.
Already had that in headlines.
Smartly.
You talked about death.
Smartly, they're doing it after Saban. It's like 20, 31, and 34. Alabama will be coming to the Heights one of those years.
That's what I said.
Might be dead.
Many of us won't live to see it. 2031 and 2034.
I expect to be around then.
You may not.
Put it this way, Zoe. By the time that 2034 game rolls around, you'll be closer to 80 than you will be 50.
Will you still be interested in lighting off fireworks at that age?
I don't light off anymore.
Will you outgrow that by then?
I don't.
We're wondering if you're going to outgrow that by that age.
I got a little bit of an issue. I'm not doing that anymore. So I don't have any more problems.
Sure, the sponsors love hearing that.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying. Or I could just bitch about the sponsor that's bitching about it. Give it to me.
Mm. Are we going down this road at all?
Nope. Not doing that.
No.
Not at all.
I don't think there is a sponsor that's bitching about it.
Nope. There's not.
Sure about that?
Yeah.
Positive.
Okay. Yeah, positive.
Okay.
Positive. Am I clear?
The Crystal. Question is, why aren't you sure about that?
Well.
What are you trying to fix over there now?
Nothing. It's not even going to get me.
Atlas Fireworks.
That cup, huh?
Four great locations, I believe, right, so?
Yeah. I used the one in Ringe.
Great. It's terrific.
What's score tonight?
We're not doing
it. Come on. 2, Bruins.
Come on. Bruins 3-2 tonight.
14-0.
3-2 tonight. They lose Friday.
Who predicts that?
I do.
They're going to push into a game 7 and lose at home. Yeah, I guess that's the 2019 Stanley Cup playing out again.
For our sake tomorrow, hope they don't win 3-2 tonight. There's going to be a problem Friday night. Oh, God.
What if it is like 6-5?
8-2.
13-3.
Milliken, who do the Red Sox play this weekend? Got a homestand, right?
What'd you say, Hardy?
They got the Astros in town right now. They stay home for a while.
Who do they have this weekend?
Who they're playing?
Yes.
No, who they're going to dinner with.
Honestly, I do not know off the
Jesus
top of my head.
Jesus, great. Christmas.
Good work.
That just tells you how big of a series that will be.
Unbelievable.
Oh, we got Blue Jays.
Yeah, so they took two
one blue,
out of three
one white, one blue, the other.
We got to start talking about Blue Jays?
Yeah, Blue Jays.
By the time we come back on Monday, they'll be ready to wrap up a four-game set.
Supposedly before the trade deadline, there's 18 straight with the Yankees, Toronto, and Tampa.
Great.
There's your season.
We know how things went against the Yankees and Rays already. The Blue Jays, too.
You guys look really good against the Astros, like the best team in the American League.
Hey, they are a great team. We'll see. We got a couple games to go here.
I get Chrisell coming back at some point.
They're still employing that Cora cheating scheme down there in Houston, so that's why they're so good.
It's okay. When Chrisell, the most disrespected pitcher in baseball, comes back, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Mm. Oh, will we?
When are you expecting Mr. Sale back, by the way?
Mid-August. That was what came out after he talked to the media yesterday. Mm. It makes sense. Listen, Noah Syndergaard, already they tried to rush him back on the Mets side. He's out most likely for the year now.
Yeah, so I think that Syndergaard had surgery the same month Sale did.
Yep, like legit. It was less than a week apart.
Yeah, they were right around the same time, end of March last year. I remember we were talking about the two of them.
Yeah, the
using
pandemic.
PPE,
right.
Going and having surgeries
How
on
dare
their
they?
Elbows.
Well, you go back and everyone was crapping on Sale for taking it slow. The Red Sox doing it that way. Listen, he's a pitcher over 30. You got to be careful here. That's what it's about.
I'm not counting on him coming back and making an impact because of a number of factors, that being one of them, that he's taking it slow because the team wants to take it slow.
Right.
But I think that they look at the year and they don't value the year. They don't value this current season as a true championship contender in that type of year.
I'd agree with you there. And they aren't going to risk Sale in any matter.
Here's a little tidbit for you. I'll leave you with this today. It's a little baseball tidbit. Fangraphs has this awesome list of everyone who's ever had Tommy John going back to like 40 years. And so if you look at the guys who are over 30, 76% of them make it back, period. So 3 out of 4 make it back to the majors. 1 out of 4 don't even make it back.
Lackey was one of them, right?
Yep. Average recovery, 17.8 months. We're not even at 15 months yet on Sale.
Mm.
So I think you look at that. You look at the Noah Syndergaard situation.
Well, look at the size of the athlete, too. He's not a big guy. He's a scrawny guy.
You look at
long,
the,
lanky.
You look at the money the Red Sox have invested in this guy for the coming years, and you look at how they view the year.
Now they don't want to spend in the future.
You mentioned the trade deadline. I don't expect them to do anything at the trade deadline.
Oh, God.
They're going to take a hard pass and sit there like Danny Ainge hoards draft picks. They're going to hoard AAA players. That's going to be their thing.
Different sports.
8-2 tonight. Your finals, though. Get ready for
that. 8-2.
We're back at it tomorrow. Bye.
Insane. 3-2. Bruins.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.